From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What's up, beautiful people? Hey, happy rivalry week. We got a lot to talk about concerning this week. Michigan State and Michigan, of course, will be taking the gridiron at Spartan Stadium on Saturday. Mark D'Antonio held his weekly press conference at Spartan Stadium this morning around 11:30 a.m. Alex and I took a trip out there. We're present for that press conference, and everybody sort of picked D'Antonio's brain as to what this rivalry means to him. We'll chat about that, give you our takeaways from that presser. Also, Top 5 Tuesday will be coming right at you. In light of Rivalry Week, we'll be listing the top 5 moments in the storied Michigan and Michigan State football history. We'll also chat about the future of Kirk Cousins, because it looks right now that the Redskins are done. They're washing their hands of Kirk, and Colt McCoy is becoming that second guy in line. And we didn't even get to Peyton Manning yesterday, setting a pretty big record. All of that and so much more, including Justin Rose of WXYZ Channel 7 News in Detroit. Justin will be joining me on today's show. But as custom here on Current Sports, before we dive into all of that jazz, here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners for this October 21st. All right, here we go, folks. First off, the Detroit Lions signed former Michigan State tight end Kellen Davis yesterday. This couldn't come at a better time, seeing as though Lions tight ends Brandon Pettigrew, Eric Ebron, and Joseph Fourier are all nursing injuries. Former Michigan State point guard Keith Appling was waived on Monday from the Los Angeles Lakers. Appling, who was a rookie this year, suffered a shoulder injury in his second exhibition game with the Lakers. Last week, he received a platelet-rich plasma injection for treatment, but has since been unable to play due to injury. The Kansas City Royals and the San Francisco Giants will open the World Series in Kansas City tonight. The game is set to start at 8:07 p.m. That's when the first pitch will take place, and we televise on Fox. The Royals will predictably send big game James Shields to the mound, and the Giants will start their ace, Madison Bumgarner. All right, the Red Wings, some good news concerning them. The Red Wings take on the Montreal Canadiens tonight in Montreal for the first time since this season. The Wings are currently 3-1-1 and coming off a thrilling overtime win against the Leafs on Saturday. Now for Pavel Datsyuk, who has not played since the Wings' first preseason game, will be making his season debut tonight. Puck drop is 7:30 p.m. on Fox Sports Detroit. Pittsburgh Steelers topped the Houston Texans in last night's Monday Night Football game. The Steelers scored 3 times in just 73 seconds. Can you believe that? It was, my goodness, it was like lightning. 2 Roethlisberger throws and an Antonio Brown carry helped lift the Steelers over the Texans by a score of 30-23. Former Michigan State running back Le'Veon Bell, and shout out to you, Le'Veon, because you definitely helped out my fantasy football team a ton last night. Le'Veon finished the game with 145 yards and became the first player in Steelers history to rack up over 100 yards of total offense in each of his first 7 games of the season. How about that? Setting milestones over there in Pittsburgh. And last but certainly not least, the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team put themselves one step closer to qualifying for the 2015 Women's World Cup with an impressive 6-0 victory over Haiti yesterday. Now, this was done all without the help of forward Alex Morgan, who is a key offensive player, out for the rest of the tournament with an ankle injury. Now, the U.S.'s opponent in the semifinals will be determined today. They'll play the winner of Jamaica versus Mexico out in Philly on Friday. Well, that wraps up your Current Sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of them, we'll be taking your calls up until 2 p.m. 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Again, that's 517-355-9527. 95-27. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Shoot us a comment there or even tweet us at my Twitter page of Al Martin WKR or at WKR_sports. Again, those are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners for this October 21st, 2014. All right, again, folks, phone lines are open up until 2 p.m. Boy, oh, boy, if you can't get excited about this week and you live in this area, I question if you have a pulse. Folks, it is rivalry week. Yes, Michigan and Michigan State will be taking the gridiron this Saturday. You know, it's one of those weeks that I definitely have a lot of fun with because, you know, I have a lot of friends, a lot of buddies, even a lot of family members. Yes, despite the fact that both me and my brother both went to Michigan State and got our degrees from the great, Michigan State University College, still, I have a ton of family members that, you know, just grew up as Michigan fans, grew up, you know, rocking the maize and blue and just, you know, loving what they saw on TV and just naturally became fans. And, you know, I have a lot of fun with it because, again, I have a lot of friends who go to U of M, and I always give them a lot of trash talking throughout the week. It is back and forth. It's a mutual trash talking phenomenon between us. And, they even know the season that they're having right now for Michigan football, they still believe that they have a legitimate shot of beating the Spartans on Saturday. And I definitely see where they're coming from. I mean, hey, every game starts off 0-0. You know, it's an even playing field before each and every game. And it's just a lot of fun. It's just a lot of fun because, you know, even though it's a big rivalry and a lot of trash talk goes on, it's a friendly rivalry for the most part, at least on my end, okay, and my buddies. So I can't speak for other homes. All right. But, you know, with D'Antonio, Mark D'Antonio, of course, as I just stated, he held his weekly presser like he does each and every week. Tuesday morning, 11:30 a.m., D'Antonio was behind that podium addressing that week's matchup, summing up real quick what took place the previous Saturday. And, us media members get to kind of pick his brain on his thoughts for, as far as the state of this Michigan State football team is concerned. So today, you know, and every week, every Michigan week that takes place, every Michigan State and Michigan football week, it's always one that is very confidential in many ways. And I say that because practice, you know, we usually, if this was any other matchup, we would be allowed to go to practice and shoot a little bit of B-roll for the TV show and so on and so forth. But, you know, with this being Michigan week, I mean, hey, it's all, you know, everybody's fully focused. D'Antonio wants his troops fully focused on the task at hand. They don't want any distractions. They don't want any cameras or media at practices. So it's all about business, period. So practice is actually closed off. Normally practice at 6 p.m. on a Tuesday will be open for the first 5 to 10 minutes, and we could, you know, go out there and shoot. But it's all business. And, that's the way D'Antonio took the podium today. You know, it was fun because, the majority of the questions that were asked, including mine, were about, you know, the rivalry, what it means, addressing Michigan this season. I asked if it lacks any luster, seeing as though Michigan State completely dominated last year's matchup at Spartan Stadium. Negative 48 rushing yards. Devin Gardner couldn't do a thing. The defense looked so porous. I mean, it was so easy to score. I mean, my goodness, only 6 points put up by the Michigan offense. No touchdowns, 2 field goals. Looking at that performance last year, and now looking at what has taken place thus far in Ann Arbor with the Wolverines football program this year, looking at those, just those two perspectives of things, not even considering the fact that Michigan State has won 5 of the last 6 meetings, does this rivalry lack any luster? I asked that to Coach D, and, you know, Coach D, with the typical answer I was expecting, you know, kind of looked at me and just kind of said, you know, no, it doesn't lack any luster. Not for me. not for me or my players, you know, maybe for fans, I don't know. But he kind of looked at me and just kind of gave that, you know, a real short answer. And, you know, it was kind of funny. He just kind of just smirked at me and that was it. So still, it really stood out to me. And my takeaways from the presser and D'Antonio this morning was that it doesn't matter at all how Michigan has been performing so far this season, how Michigan State has been performing so far this season. This is a rivalry matchup. This is the rivalry matchup in the state of Michigan when it comes to college sports, or any sport for that matter, to be arguably. It doesn't matter that, you know, Brady Hoke may be on the hot seat. It doesn't matter that Michigan is not a Big Ten favorite. It doesn't matter that Ohio State is probably the second best team in the Big Ten. You know, I the verdict is still out to see if Michigan State is still the best team in the Big Ten. It doesn't matter. Whenever the maize and blue and the green and white get together, it is on like Donkey Kong. Okay? Point blank, period. And, you know, D'Antonio had a funny story that he shared with us media today. He was asked, Dan Kilbridge actually asked him if his family reminds him that it is Michigan week. Does his wife and does his kids say, "Hey, Dad, it's Michigan week. You know, you can't lose this one." And D'Antonio had a funny story. He said yes, first of all. And he had a funny story when talking about his daughter when she was in second grade at the time. And it was Michigan week. And his daughter, you know how in second grade, if you can rewind the time a little bit, you know, when, you know, through grade school, you're asked to, you know, sometimes write short stories and put together a story. And in second grade, his daughter, she actually put together a pretty comical story that if anyone wore maize and blue, they had to be thrown in jail for a week. So this is a trickle down effect. This isn't just, you know, this doesn't just start with D'Antonio here and with his team. I mean, this is a very personal thing, and I'm pretty sure many of you out there who have followed this rivalry throughout your college football fandom, I mean, it's personal. It's definitely personal, man. And, you know, bragging rights are at an all-time high whatever team wins that week. So I found that story to be pretty comical. He also talked about and hit on, other than the rivalry, kind of thinking outside the box here, just the emergence of Tony Lippitt and how Tony Lippitt just week by week by week is just putting up numbers that are just, you know, honestly, just eye-popping, head-turning, whatever you want to call it. They are shocking. And just seeing the progression in Tony Lippitt's career here at Michigan State, he steadily improved. And Connor Cook talked about how really the improvement from Tony Lippitt started, you know, from this year. You know, and we kind of saw shades of it in the Rose Bowl game and even in the Big Ten championship game. But, you know, what it really, really took off for Tony Lippitt is his work ethic. Connor Cook talked about just the offseason workouts, the constant throws and reps that they would put in the offseason throughout the summer. Tony was one of those guys that was like, "Hey, let's get better, man." And he's definitely, though, that work is certainly showing, fruition, coming to fruition this year. So, and, you know, even D'Antonio, he was also asked about, you know, if he feels any, and going back to now to the rivalry, he was asked about if he feels any sympathy for Michigan right now. And I wouldn't say sympathy, but if he respects the leaders, I should say, if he respects the leaders of Michigan football. And he went on to say, quote, "It's an elite program. To be the head coach of a football program like that is difficult." And he went on to talk about, you know, just how, you know, it's a rich tradition there. And, you know, he respects those who have come through and had success, frankly, at that program. So, you know, just a classy thing to say from Coach D. So it's a big week, folks. It's a big week. I hope you guys are ready. I am ready. We'll be actually talking about it more throughout this show. Alex, did you have any more looking at, you know, the D'Antonio presser today? Is there anything that I'm missing that really stood out to you when D'Antonio addressed the rivalry or the play of his team?
Yeah, what really stood out actually wasn't even something from D'Antonio. It was actually something from Connor Cook and Tywan Jones, and they were saying that it was really hurtful the year when they lost and the Michigan players came on the sideline and started harassing them, which I didn't really hear too much about. I don't know about you, Adam.
Get out of here. I was at the – yeah, well, I and it's actually on our top five Tuesday. It is the top five moments in the Michigan State-Michigan rivalry. And you know what? I was actually a rookie sports reporter at Channel 6 News. Kevin Gale, I remember it was Kevin Gill, who's at still at Channel 6 now, David Parks, who's the photog there, and I, we all three, we went out to cover the game. And after the game, what me and Kevin did was we actually put together a dual package. I actually still have this story on my YouTube page. But, you know, that game was won, and you'll get to hear a bite of it later on in the show. That game was won on a game-winning field goal that really nipped at the hearts of many Spartan fans. And it was so crazy because the students who were at that game and fans alike came down and rushed the field. Now, ideally, what I do is after a game that I'm covering, I shoot my stand up for the package that I'm going to air later on that night or on current sports TV and so on and so forth. So Kevin and I, we have to do our stand up right there on the field with this ruckus that is going on. Fans are going absolutely out of their mind, you know, just people being, you know, crowd surfing, all that is going on right now. And it got so heated, you know, because this is not a good feeling to lose against your rival. And I was actually on this. I approached the Michigan State sideline first, Alex, and there were actually a few of the players who I can't pinpoint. I wasn't looking at numbers at the time. But security got involved because they were, like, pointing and taking jabs at the Spartans. And security actually pushed Kevin and I to the side because it was getting really heated. So we're trying to find, you know, Dave Parks or Photox to shoot these stand-ups. Security guards are out there. You got fans, you know, rushing the field. It was absolutely insane. But, Michigan players, came to the Michigan State sidelines and were barking at the Spartans, and it got ugly. It got really ugly.
Yeah, that's a good story. It's funny how that happened. But the last overall takeaway is that everybody knew there was an elephant in the room. Coach D'Antonio knew the elephant was that this is the start of a Spartan dominance that you haven't seen in years.
Yeah.
And with all the questions of poking the bear and people throwing out questions, well, coach, what do you think about the fact that Brady Hoke had a short press conference and, you know, what do you have to say about something that they said? And it was hard for him. He had to remain very civil. Very diplomatic.
Well, I thought it was funny. As he put it, you know, it's funny because, you know, rewinding the tape to D'Antonio when he first took on Michigan and Mike Hart, after the game, talked about the little brother. D'Antonio was ticked off, frankly, for lack of better words. He was upset about it. And so much so that D'Antonio, if you remember this, I mean, it's on YouTube, folks. If you YouTube this D'Antonio Michigan, it'll be one of the first videos that pop up. But D'Antonio was so livid. He had some strong words for Michigan. And that really is kind of fueled his hate for Michigan, for U of M. And he talked about that. He went on to say, you know, he went on today to say, you know, over time he's become more civilized, and he changed civilized to diplomatic, and everybody kind of chuckled at that. But yeah, I mean, you know, that was a moment that really, and you know, he was asked if his feelings have changed towards Michigan. No, he says no. I still, you know, he still doesn't like that program. Period.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, he had remained diplomatic. You can tell that there were emotions between the players and him.
Yeah, there always
that
is.
That he had
right.
to hide back. So.
Definitely. Definitely. As well, there always are. No matter what sport it is, I'm pretty sure the MSU rowing team, when they take on the Michigan rowing team, I'm pretty sure they're barking at each other, and there's added emotion to that. It doesn't matter what the sport, and it's a trickle-down effect. It's a trickle-down effect. Sure, this is the game of football. This is what runs the world, really, in college sports, other than basketball. Those two alike. But it doesn't matter what the sport is. Doesn't matter what sport Michigan State is playing Michigan in and vice versa. It's on, you know. It's added incentive to watch. It can get ugly, you know. So it's a fun week. I want you all to call in. We'll be taking your calls throughout this entire hour. 517-355-9527 is the number to call. 517-355-9527. What is your favorite moment in this rivalry? What is your favorite Michigan and Michigan State moment that you cannot get out of your brain? I would love to hear it, folks, because we're going to be listing ours actually right now. We're going to transition to that segment right now, folks, because it's Top 5 Tuesday, and Alex and I have compiled our own list of memorable Michigan and Michigan State football moments. It's Top 5 Tuesday, folks. Five, four, three, two, one. Yes, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, folks. It is Top 5 Tuesday, where each and every Tuesday here on the show, we list a top 5 topic in the world of sports. And, of course, since it's rivalry week here in a land of the green and white and maize and blue, Michigan State and Michigan hitting the gridiron this Saturday, 3:30 p.m. at Spartan Stadium. We decided to go back in history and look at some of the more memorable moments in Michigan State and Michigan football that these two teams have met upon, and give our favorite moments. So for me, I have to definitely start off. For me, 2013. Even before then, I'm going to change this order right off the whim here, Alex. I'm going to actually go at that moment. Me being, a rookie reporter at Channel 6, it was one of the more memorable moments because I remember I was doing that stand-up when we had to do our stand-ups, and I finally found Dave Parks. I had to do my stand-up in a very hostile environment when I had Michigan fans just yelling in back of me, just trying to distract me. It was pretty comical. We ran it that night for the 11 o'clock news, and it was hilarious. It was hilarious. But if you don't remember, Michigan State lost that game on this field goal. Do we have it? We don't have it. Oh, I thought Alex had it. I thought we had it. Okay, we don't have that field goal in 2012? No, we don't have that. Okay, never mind. Never mind. But anyway, they lost in the field goal, folks. That's live radio. That happens. All right. Let's go to number four. Number four, then. For me, 1922. Yeah, I'm digging deep here, folks. 1922 and 1947. Now, I know there are many out there that, we give a lot of love to Michigan State here on the show because, hey, we're right here in East Lansing reporting. But, hey. We extend to Ann Arbor as well, okay? And I have to, kind of show some love to the Wolverines because in 1922, they had one of the biggest blowouts in this whole rivalry history. It was actually November 4th, 1922. Michigan finished the season undefeated. I believe the coach was, one of the reporters, Lloyd Northard of the Detroit Free Press, described it this way. There is no balm in Gilead tonight for the Michigan Aggies, for the Fighting Farmers from East Lansing were completely buried under a maize and blue avalanche this afternoon. The final figures after a careful compiling of 63-0. Michigan beating MAC at the time, Michigan Agriculture College, 63-0. That was 1922. In 1947, Michigan head coach Fritz Kreisler had quite the streak over Michigan State College, as it was named at that time. But the hiring of Biggie Munn would usher in, of course, a new age in East Lansing. I mean, Biggie Munn, of course, he's a staple in Michigan State football. Munn's first game versus Michigan against his old boss, Fritz Kreisler, he was trounced at Michigan Stadium 55-0. And the reason why this moment stands out so much is because many people recounted, of course, those who were on the sidelines of that 1947 game. According to reports, tears supposedly ran down Munn's cheeks on the sideline. So, yeah, 55-0. Showing some love to Michigan there. I mean, those are two pretty big blowouts, two of the biggest blowouts in this entire rivalry history. Again, 1922, 63-0, and 1947, 55-0. Michigan both taking both of those matchups. Alex, what are yours, man? Let's go. I've gave you 5 and 4 for me.
All right, yeah, we actually have some interesting bites regarding Little Brother and Desmond.
Yeah, we'll get to that, yeah.
And listeners, if you'd like to weigh in on your top five, you can go to our Facebook page at Current Sports and give us a comment on what you think should be in the top five or give your own top five. So you can do that too. My number five, Al, I kind of gave a different spin on this whole top five. I gave the top five moments for Spartan fans being at Michigan State. So for my number five, I had to start it off with the Tony Banks to Derek Mason throw in 1995 under Nick Saban, and that kind of made a turn for the Nick Saban era.
Which is very short.
Derek Mason obviously having a very luxurious pro career, but before then, under Bo in Michigan, it was hard for Michigan State to pull out any wins. And you look at historically, from 1898 to 1908, Michigan State hadn't scored a point in 10 years in their first football games ever. And on top of that, the first time that Michigan State, I think it was actually the second game Michigan State ever played, they lost 119-0 119-0 against Michigan, mm-hmm. back when they were Michigan State College. So, obviously, this rivalry has been Michigan-dominated historically, but in recent memory, leading up to my number one, Al, it kind of makes sense why. It looks like the tides are changing recently in the last couple of years. So,
yeah,
that's my number five. I'll give you my number four, and we'll get your top three, Al. My number four has to be the little brother incident from a couple of years ago in Mike Hart and Michigan State coming out that year and basically shocking the Michigan team. So got to give it to the big brothers out in Michigan who couldn't get the job
done. You actually called him that? Oh, no, we can't call him big brother.
Well, I know. I say quote unquote because they're the big.
Okay, got you. Quote unquote. Quote unquote.
Mike
yeah.
Hart said they're the big brothers.
Yeah, that was Mark D'Antonio's first game against Michigan. It was a loss, 28-24. But again, there was a lot of bantering going on. Do we have that bite actually? Let's play that bite right now.
I was just laughing. I thought it was funny. You know, they got excited. It's good. You know, sometimes you get your little brother excited when you're playing basketball and stuff. You let him get the lead, and then you just come back and take it back.
Yeah, that was Mike Hart back in 2007. I tell you what, again, if you have not seen D'Antonio's response to that, he actually, you know, it's the famous pride comes before the fall comments. And that's on YouTube. Again, check that out. D'Antonio was not too pleased about those comments, and it kind of started this whole epidemic. But yeah, definitely. That's actually my number one. So I have two here. Let's sort of wrap up my list. For number three, I got to go 1990 on you, and you talked about Desmond Howard. Michigan was actually ranked, folks, number one in the country. Number one college football team in the country back in 1990. The Spartans, unranked, folks. And, you know, it was just such an epidemic. Back in 1990, this was so big because, you know, of course, this is a big rivalry game. Michigan being the better team, supposedly, you know, with this whole number one versus the unranked Spartans. There were actually T-shirts made that day in October back in 1990. There were number one versus no one. Those are what the T-shirts were dubbed. Everybody was rocking those number one versus no one T-shirts. And Desmond Howard had a pretty big moment. Pretty big moment. Of course, Desmond Howard, he's a legend. A Michigan football legend. You can catch him, you know, each and every Saturday morning on College Game Day. I mean, he's a legend. The famous Heisman pose, that's Desmond Howard for you. And he had an opportunity to, put the nail in the coffin and win that game on one of the last plays of the game in the fourth quarter. But this happened. Yeah, Desmond Howard dropped it, folks. Totally dropped it. It was right in his hands. He dropped it. He kind of walked to the field like, oh my goodness, I can't believe I dropped that. Michigan State beats unranked Michigan 28-27. They knock off and put an etch on that record of Michigan, who was again ranked number one in the country. Number two for me. Of course, this is a big moment. Big moment here. November 3rd, 2001. Do you guys remember that, where you were when you saw this? They call it Clockgate. Yeah, Clockgate. It's a very famous play. Whatever you want to call it, Michigan entered the game ranked number six in the country. Michigan State's T.J. Duckett, he was insane in the membrane this day, folks. He rushed for 211 yards. Duckett, he caught what would be one of the most memorable moments in Michigan State football history. Check this out. Do we have it? We don't have that one either? Oh, we don't have that one either. Okay, I'm sorry, folks. I'm sorry we don't have that one either. But, again, going back to that moment, Duckett caught the game-winning touchdown from Jeff Smoker, giving his team the 26-24 win in the final second. Frank Beckman, longtime radio announcer for Michigan football games, called the incident criminal on the air. Dave Perry, then the Big Ten coordinator for officials, said after reviewing the game film, quote, "We could find nothing that suggested there had been a mistake made." That's a moment that Michigan fans, they look at and say, man, we had that game. We should have won that game. Clockgate, folks. Check that one out also. That's all over YouTube. Alex?
Yeah, my number three, actually the same thing, and number two, the same exact ones.
Oh, well, there you go. We're on the same page today,
same
man.
Page.
All right, what are your top five moments or top moment in this whole Michigan and Michigan State rivalry? I want to get your thoughts on it. Call up 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We'll take your calls right here on the air. And again, you can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Leave us a comment there or tweet me at AlMartinWKR or at WKR_sports. Let's hit the break, folks. When we come back, not too long from now, we're going to be talking with Justin Rose, who is a sports reporter and anchor from WXYZ, Channel 7 in Detroit. Justin made a trip up here for the D'Antonio Presser. He's actually an MSU alum. Really great guy. I remember meeting him when I was just starting applying for jobs in this industry. Really great guy. We're going to get his thoughts on the Lions, on Michigan State and Michigan, and just you know, how he ended up at WXYZ. So that's going to be an interesting chat. We'll also talk about the future of Kirk Cousins and Peyton Manning making history. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Hey, reminding you all that Current Sports TV tapes this Wednesday night at 6 p.m. Folks, we have a great time each and every Wednesday night at the WKAR-TV studios on the first floor of the Communication Arts and Sciences building of Michigan State University. We have a great time each and every week. And if you want to be a part of our live studio audience for this week, you can do so by going to WKAR.org. I'll be sitting down with a man who actually profiled earlier this year. I found his story so intriguing. I actually found out about his story from a good friend of the show, Ron DeLeon. Ron, of course, who is an MMA fight promoter from right here in the Lansing area. And, you know, Ron tells me, hey, man, I have this unbelievable fighter who has a story unlike any other story I've ever heard. So I'm like, okay, well, hey, well, you know, what's his story? I mean, you know, can I meet him? You know, blah, blah, blah. So he gave me his contact information. I got in contact with him. And again, he's an MMA fighter. So I go out to his gym, which is located right in the heart of Lansing. And, you know, he's there working out. He had just finished up a workout. I go into the gym and he's, you know, he's got, you know, punching bags up left and right. He's got his trainer there. And I meet the guy and his name is Ronald Mann. And I tell you what, it was one of the most thought-provoking, unbelievably heartfelt interviews I have ever done. He has a story that is unlike anyone else's because he's not only a mixed martial artist, but he's an amputee as well. Ronald does not have his right leg. And it's so amazing because you see this guy train, and he's going at it just like any able-bodied opponent. I mean, any able-bodied, any other MMA fighter. I mean, I remember watching him work out and actually do a spar session with the head trainer there. His sensei is what he calls him. And I was just sitting there with my jaw was on the floor in complete amazement. Ronald actually, you know, he fought in the military. And after he fought in the military, you know, during when he was in the military, he was a huge motorcycle enthusiast. He ended up having a motorcycle accident that sadly took his right leg. He went through a unbelievable period of depression. Can you imagine that? I mean, just imagine not having one of your limbs. I mean, I probably would lose my mind as well. I mean, it's one of those things where he was just in a really dark place during that time of his life. But he found MMA as that avenue, that getaway, that release that gave him hope in life once again. And he's unbelievable because, you know, it's not like, you know, Ronald goes in the ring and fights other opponents who, you know, have limbs that are lost. He goes in there and fights other able-bodied opponents. It is truly remarkable. His story is remarkable. He's gone on to do some great things. He's doing some motivational speaking and inspiring others. And it's an unbelievable story. If you want to meet this guy and hear his story firsthand, do so by going to WKAR.org, signing up online for free, and getting a firsthand recollection of just how inspirational this dude is. I'm excited. I'm excited just about every week I sit down. Every week I sit down with a new Current Sports TV guest, but I'm particularly excited about Ronald's because, I mean, he's just such an inspiring guy. He motivated me after I got done. This is why I love journalism so much. In journalism, you come across people that have different stories. I mean, everybody has a story. You and I have a story. Everybody has a story. And every once in a while, you come across a story that you hear and you report on in this business that not only inspires you to tell their story, but inspires you as a human being to be a better human being. And that's what Ronald's story did for me. And hopefully upon seeing this episode this week, he does the same for you. Again, simply go to WKR.org to get a chance to meet Ronald and enjoy that episode on Wednesday night. Again, we will air that as we do each and every week, Thursday at 10 p.m. on WKR TV. All right, folks, again, it is rivalry week. And really briefly here, you guys can weigh in. We're taking your calls up until 2 o'clock. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Go to our Twitter pages of WKR underscore sports or at Al Martin WKR. I have two tweets here that I want to read from you all. I'm seeing here Mark Neese, who is talking about the 1947 game that I brought up that, of course, ended in a huge Michigan trouncing of Michigan State. He talks about this 1947 game and says that this is one of his biggest memories because, quote, "I've heard that U of M turned cold water off in the MSU locker room in 1947, Biggie Munn was livid and vowed revenge. He got that revenge." Wow, I didn't know that. Again, that's from at Bookmark Spart. He weighs in as one of his more memorable moments, talking about the 1947 game in which U of M reportedly, this is what he heard, this is what Bookmark Smart heard. He heard that U of M turned off the cold water. And, Biggie Munn was pretty upset about it and said, "Hey, we're going to get our revenge. That was not cool." Yeah, that's not cool, man. Turn off the water? Man, I guess it's a heated rivalry. Again, Michigan won that game in 1947, 55-0. 55-0. So, interesting take on that. As far as score predictions, we'll take those as well, folks. This one comes from at TJ Segs Wade 40. He tweets us and says that, quote, "MSU is the shining star. That's the way of the world. Sorry, Blue, this is not a fantasy. No victory getaway. Sparty wins 27-10. Interesting score there. So TJ Sixway doesn't even think this one would be close. Hey, the boys in Vegas don't even think this one would be close to either. I mean, what do you guys think about it? 517-355-9527. Alex, I don't think we gave a score prediction yesterday. What do you think is gonna happen, man?
Yeah. Well, you know, the point differential that people are predicting is pretty high. You're hearing 14-17. I think they're going to do it, man. I think Michigan State will outbeat them. I'm looking at a final score of 37-13.
37-13. Yeah, I can't argue with that, you know, at all. I mean, yeah, Michigan State, I think they clearly have the better football team. In many regards, I feel as though there are many Spartan fans out there. Again, this is a rivalry matchup, but they may be looking toward next week already and looking at, you know, Ohio State or Rutgers. I mean, I don't know. So, hey, you never know. Again, what do you think about it, folks? 517-355-9527. All right, let's just kind of change gears really quickly here. We didn't get to talk about this amazing accomplishment in the world of sports, Alex, but, you know, because we ran out of time during yesterday's show, but definitely want to talk about Peyton Manning really briefly because Peyton Manning has done something and broken a record that, you know, is pretty remarkable. Pretty remarkable stuff. For those that were glued to your TVs, like I was at least on Sunday night, awaiting that moment where Peyton Manning would break the heralded TD touchdown record, of course, of Brett Favre that was held for many years. For the record for most touchdowns thrown by an NFL quarterback. Well, Peyton Manning broke that record on Sunday night as his Broncos just trounced on the San Francisco 49ers. Peyton Manning passed Brett Favre for the league's record for career touchdown passes with his 509th career scoring pass in front of a national primetime audience. Now, he stands alone at the top of the list now after an 8-yard touchdown pass to Demaryius Thomas. Thank you, Demaryius, who is also on my fantasy football team. And, yes, I'm going to keep on shouting out players who are on my fantasy football team until this season ends. With 3:09 remaining in the first half, the pass gave the Broncos a 21-3 lead in the game. Remarkable moment. For me, Alex, just looking at that moment for Peyton Manning. For me, Peyton Manning, he sort of exudes greatness for me. It's very rare. There's only about three quarterbacks that I can name right now in the game who just have that swag that they are one of the best to ever do this. One of them, of course, at the top of the list for me, top two for me, Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, without a doubt. Those two have been holding the torch and been consistent presences as top quarterbacks in the league forever. I mean, for a long, long time. So Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, definitely at the top of that list. Maybe you can probably throw in Aaron Rodgers also in that list as well. Maybe Drew Brees and so on and so forth. But Peyton Manning is that guy. I think, you know, it's just a matter of time before this record will be broken. And I have to ask you, because we briefly talked about it when we got off the air yesterday, just where Peyton Manning ranks in your all-time QB list. Where would you put Peyton Manning?
Now, look, there are a lot of great quarterbacks, and yeah, you made a big point on me where you're not even going to put him in your top five. Well, let's look at all the great quarterbacks. We've seen Steve Young. We've seen Dan Marino. We've seen Troy Aikman. You can go on and on. Joe Montana. There are a lot of great quarterbacks, Al. A lot of them. And a lot of them that aren't in the most recent era of football. And granted, yeah, the game is getting harder, bigger, faster, stronger. But there are a lot of former quarterbacks that still hold many records outside of touchdown passes in a season that hold very valid. So for me, I say that Peyton falls between, I'd put him as high as three. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't put him number one.
Okay.
I'd put him as high as three and maybe as low as seven or eight.
Okay.
But I think he resides in that range. I don't think he's necessarily in that top three. I don't think he's in the bottom half of the top 10. I put him kind of at the middle. I mean, I just reeled off three names that are easily in the top five. So that's kind of what's holding me back with Peyton Manning.
Well, the thing is so big to me is that at the end of the day, when you make lists like this, first off, to give a prelude to this conversation, everybody's perception and everybody's greatness list is going to vary. I mean, even when talking about other sports like basketball and you know, hockey, who's the greatest hockey player of all time? What's your list look like? When you have a list of greatness and try to capsulize the entire history of the sport into its top 10 players in that regard, it's tough. It's tough to do, and everybody's list is going to be different. Even though there are many people out there, the majority of people out there that watch the game of basketball and think that Michael Jordan is the greatest, and he's number one on my list for at least. You know, I talked to Trevor Manuel last week and his father, James, and they think that Magic Johnson is the greatest ever play. So everybody's perception changes. But for me, when I look at it and you have this discussion, winning is a big part of it. Winning, your accomplishments in that win-loss column holds a lot of weight for me. Because not only are you saying that you're great, but you're saying that you're one of the best to ever do this, but also handled your business as far as closing out games and winning with rings. And Peyton Manning has taken a lot of flack throughout a lot of his career for not being a quarterback who could consistently get the job done when it mattered most.
In the Super Bowl, right?
That meaning the playoffs, period. I mean, yeah, and the Super Bowl as well. Because you look at it, and Peyton Manning, you know, just looking at last year, you play a team like the Seattle Seahawks, and you get totally blown out. So in order to equate this list, there's a lot of factors that weigh into it. If I had to choose, I would say Peyton. Peyton is probably – he's top 10, definitely. Can we say that? Can we say top 10 at least?
I think we can definitely say top 10.
We can say top 10 at least.
But like you said, the winning part of
that's
it.
That's big. That's huge, yeah. Right? That's huge. So I would maybe seven. Six or seven, something like that. But, yeah, and I definitely want to get your thoughts on it because it's an ongoing debate left and right, folks. Again, call us. We'll be taking your calls. We've got 15 minutes left in the show, 517-355-9527. Go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Also tweet me at AlMartinWKR or at our official Current Sports Twitter page of WKR_sports. Let's hit our second break because I just looked across the window and the man of the hour is here. Justin Rose, sports reporter and anchor for WXYZ Channel 7 Detroit is here, folks. Don't touch that dial. He'll be joining me right now. Hey, what's up, beautiful people? Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and you know, we got 15 minutes left in the show, and our guest has just walked in, folks. He is a great friend of ours. He's been on the show before. He's actually, you know, he went to Michigan State, has gone on to do some incredible things in the world of broadcast, sports, journalism, and, you know, it's kind of full circle now because he's actually, you know, kind of living out a dream, you know. He grew up watching a lot of the Lions and Tigers games, and now he's a sports reporter in Detroit getting a chance to cover them. He's Justin Rose, sports reporter and anchor for WXYZ in Detroit. Justin, my man, thanks a lot for joining me today.
Al, thanks for having me on the show, brother. I appreciate this. This is some fancy digs you got
isn't
here.
It? You know, got the marble tables. Yeah. You got these lights actually change colors in here. Hey, they've gone all out. You know?
I'm not listening to this sign. Please do not touch microphone.
Yeah,
I'm not moving it all over the place.
You're breaking rules.
Whatever
right now,
I
Justin.
Want to
but,
do.
But hey,
here.
You're the homie, so we'll let you do that. Okay?
Hey, you know, my tuition paid for this brand new, you know, structure you got here long before you were thinking about this. So yeah. I can touch the microphone. Thank
there you
very
go.
Much.
You can do that. You can do that. We'll let you do that, Justin.
Sounds
all
good.
Right. But first off, Justin, I got to talk about, and I definitely want to get to your career in a second because we do have a lot of students listening to the show and are trying to get in this business. They always come to me for advice. And it's always good to hear, not just from me, but from others who have graduated from Michigan State and gone on to do some great things. So I want to get to that in just a second.
Sure,
but
sure. Let's talk shop.
Let's talk some Lions first. Because
okay.
I actually, you know, yesterday was your first time anchoring, right, for WXYZ?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Last night was the first anchor.
How'd it go first off?
Good.
Good stuff.
Yeah. As the students listening out there, I guess if you're, it gets easier with time.
It
may be tough now, but it's no... It's like riding a bike.
It is. You know, I never forget the first time I was anchoring at Channel 6. You know, Justin, there's a story. I came in, I never forget this, and Fred Human can testify to it. I came in at 9 a.m. to do a 6 o'clock sports cast. Who does that? I was so nervous. I wanted to be so prepared.
You know, I remember back in the day, my first job was in Clarksburg, West Virginia.
Oh, boy.
I was coming in at about 9 a.m. to get my first couple shows ready. Wanted right. every word to be right. Wanted every clip of video to be perfectly timed with my voice. Now, just, you know, if it isn't matched up, I'll somehow make it matched up. You learn to cut the corners when you've done it as long as I have, you know, 6 years, 7 years now. It's a long time since I graduated from this fine institution.
There you go. And you've done some great things. Now, I saw last night, though, the reason why I bring that up, your sportscast yesterday, because I actually tuned in on via Facebook, actually, and saw your interview with Detroit Lions head coach Jim Caldwell.
Yeah, what a guy he is. What a way he's changing that program. The perception of the franchise from within.
Right.
It's, you know, it's not too far off from what D'Antonio did here when he came here and changed. You have to change the inside of a foundation to have any sort of effect. Jim Schwartz came in and was like, oh, glitz, glamour, all this, you know, flashing lights, high octane offense, this, that, the other thing. And everyone's like, oh, this is cool for half a second.
Yeah.
And then when things start going wrong and there's no foundation set, it crumbles.
Exactly.
You know,
that's so true.
Caldwell's coming in and he's got these guys all believing. Talking to them after the game, it was unbelievable how many guys were like, he's like a father figure to us. He's a guy who's, you know, not going to BS. It's come in, get your work done, work hard, and none of this flash, none of this glitz, none of this glamour. We're a team here, no I in team. Yeah, they got some superstars in that team, Calvin Johnson being one of them. But no one's more important than anybody else, and some franchises lose touch of that, and that's what happens when things start going south.
Yeah, that's so true, and that's something I brought up to Alex yesterday. I mean, looking at Jim Caldwell, and you know, looking at his interview that you had on yesterday, he seems like, you know, he doesn't get rattled on the sidelines. That's something that really stood out to me on that game on Sunday. Even when they were down, he's cooler than the other side of the pillow on the sidelines. He's just even keel. And then as that game went on, I mean, I'm starting to see, for me, and I went on the record to say this, Alex, I'm starting to see a culture change happen that I have never seen in Detroit Lions history. Is that accurate? Do you feel the same way, Justin?
Absolutely. I absolutely think the same way, and I think that, look, this season is still a long way away. We've seen 6-2. They're only 5-2 right now, but if they win in London this weekend, 6-2, we've seen it before and what has happened before.
Right.
My interest will be watching the last 8 games of the season. They may still miss the playoffs this year. Let's keep things real here. Mm-hmm. They're not going to win a Super Bowl this year. If they do, that would be unbelievable. I'm not ready to give them that kind of credit yet. You were just talking about one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history. You think this Lions team's going to be able to hang with the Broncos?
Yeah,
I don't think so.
But I don't know. I can make an argument for that, but we won't get on that
right now.
But
right.
Yeah, I see where you're going, though.
My whole point is the culture's changing. You finally found the right guy to get it, to get the right players and to get the right mindset in that locker room to change how you win at the highest level. And that's what Caldwell's doing.
Justin, for you, I mean, how surprising is it for you to look at this this Detroit Lions offense? And again, you were in the locker room talking to these players after the game on Sunday. I mean, how surprising is it for you, though, to see how efficient this offense has been without, you know, Megatron and without Eric Ebron? Has that been surprising? Has the play of Matthew Stafford surprised you at all?
I wouldn't go with efficient, because I think that the players all know that they want to be much better on offense. The running game is almost non-existent at this point. The passing game has been found some bright spots. You found some players to step in, and that's a part of that coaching mentality, the next man up thing.
Yeah.
You know, Mike Tomlin talked a lot about that when I was in Pittsburgh for the past couple of years, and no one really did anything about it. The next man up wasn't as good as the next man up who was supposed to be there. Now the Lions are actually dealing with these injuries and stuff, and people are stepping up.
Yeah.
Players who are playing way above their pay grade are doing things that, you know, the starters should be doing who are out with injuries. Golden Tate, for example, is an
unbelievable.
Corey Fuller is doing big things.
Right.
I mean, so you're getting the production that you want out of the next man up mentality, but you know, it's funny. We've been talking about the Lions offense for years. It's like, look at all the weapons they have. They're going to be unbelievable. They're going to score a million points a game. Who cares if the defense any good?
Yeah.
What we're seeing right now, that the defense is the only reason the Lions are sitting at, you know, 5-2 at this particular point in time.
Exactly.
So if they didn't have that defense, they're probably 3-4. Without a doubt. So, you know, hopefully the offense can, you know, Megatron won't play this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's...
They sit out at least through the bye week, I heard. Yeah.
You sit out through the bye week, you get him 100% healthy, because then for 8 games, you got a healthy Megatron.
Right.
Who really cares if you have a healthy Megatron, 50% Megatron in London against the hapless Falcons? You know, don't overlook him, but at the same time, save him, get him back healthy, 8 games to go, he could be dangerous. But that offense is still working. Remember, this is a new system.
Yeah.
This is a new coach.
It is.
This is asking Stafford and the offensive line and the running backs and the wide receivers to all do different things that they were doing from a year ago. That takes some time.
It so definitely does.
And what's nice is, unlike, you know, very like Michigan State last year, who kept him in the first half of that season when things could have really gone awry?
The defense. Especially when you're going through quarterback problems and all that. Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
They fixed the offense, and where'd they go? The Rose Bowl, baby. So
yeah.
you can't really count them out. You got to really kind of think the Lions will continue to grow. These are professional athletes. They're going to figure it out at some point, hopefully. And I still think the Lions have a lot of bright spot in the second half of the season. But the schedule is tough. We'll see.
It is. Justin Rose of WXYZ TV, Channel 7 in Detroit. Now, Justin, you know, shifting gears here, I want to definitely talk about your career now, because, again, as I just mentioned, I mean, now you're kind of living out a dream now. You know, you're at Channel 7 getting to cover the teams you grew up watching, baby. I mean, really briefly here, we only got 5 minutes left, but really briefly, for the students out there listening, kind of tell them about your journey and how you ended up at Channel 7. Is this your dream? Is this the dream?
Well, I mean, working in journalism is the dream if you can stick through all the tough times that are about to be in front of you.
Yeah.
Because that's one of the hardest things that, you know, you'll have to realize as a young person. Just to give you a little perspective, I had an internship with Fox Sports Detroit right out of school. Actually, I was still technically in school when I had it.
Mm-hmm.
They hired me out of it, and I was living in Royal Oak. And if you've ever been to Royal Oak, it's a fun place to live, for just definitely for 20-somethings. And I was making decent money, and journalism making decent money is a tough thing to do right away.
Yeah.
But I wasn't doing on-air stuff. And I had to ask myself, do you want to just have fun with life and kind of do kind of, you know, behind-the-scenes stuff, or do you want to be a reporter? Do you want to be an anchor? Do you want to be a host? And I had to throw... 23-year-old me had to throw away the fun, the entertainment, the lifestyle, living that with all my friends, and go move to Clarksburg, West Virginia. Look it up on a map. It's not a fun place.
Uh-huh.
For $10 an hour for 20 hours a week.
Wow.
That's a sacrifice you got to make to be able to do it and, you know, stick with it, the intuitiveness. And, I mean, obviously I've been really fortunate to have good contacts and people help me along the way, keeping in touch with people. That's the big thing. It's not what you know a lot of times, it's who you know and how you've established relationships and cultured them throughout the years. I mean, nothing comes easy anymore. And I feel bad for my generation and the generations now, as everyone wants it now. We're instant. We look at these cell phones.
Yeah.
We get everything we want at the touch of a button.
Patience is not a virtue with this year's society.
And you know, you got it. You got to know, and you got to just keep believing in yourself. And if you have a good support system, you can do it. I'm living proof. But
definitely,
it's been great. My family is in Michigan. I got a little niece, my sister, my parents.
That's how you go with your dad on Facebook.
Yeah,
that's great stuff.
So
man.
You know, it's a lot of hard work, a lot of sacrifice, to giving up, but it to be back has been great. I've only been there for like a month and a half, 2 months now, and
is everything is cracked up to be?
Yeah, like oh yeah. It's a lot of fun. So I had a great show. Hey, I do want to say to any college football fans listening, Sunday mornings when you're waking up, maybe a little a little hungover. I'm just saying.
Right.
WXYZ.com, we do a live stream of the 7 Action Sports Cave. It's me and a couple of columnists. Keith Nickel, former Michigan State wide receiver, quarterback, joins me on the show. Braylon Edwards from Michigan joins me on the show. And every Sunday at 10:30 to 11 o'clock, we do a college football chat. It's a great, fun show. It's involved in Twitter. You can get your tweets on there. We'll read them. But I want to give a little plug to that because I know you guys can't get it on your TVs here, but you guys got Google Chrome these days.
Exactly.
You can stream it on the big TV somewhere.
I'm on it right now, baby.
So I do want to give a plug to my show on Sunday mornings. So 10:30 Sunday mornings, WXYZ.com, do a live stream.
Really cool stuff, too, because it's real relaxed. It's a sports cave.
Yeah,
you're rocking your jeans and your T-shirt,
Just like this right here, chilling.
Just
talking,
chilling, baby.
Talking about sports.
Gotta love that. Again, folks, Justin Rose of WXYZ TV, Channel 7 in Detroit. Really quick score prediction here on Saturday. I know it's a big rivalry game. You're actually an MSU alum, Justin. You were at the presser. You heard what D'Antonio had to say. What do you think is going to go down on Saturday?
I know we got to get off the air in a couple minutes, so my quick take is this. Mm-hmm. Michigan does not have the sustainability to hang with Michigan State for a 60-minute game unless Michigan State allows them to stick around. Michigan, I can see having one or two big plays.
Right.
I can see them putting up 14 points on spot plays. I'm spotting them 14 points right now as far as like a couple big plays because that's what Michigan State's defense has given up right now.
Exactly, yeah.
I do not believe that Michigan can control the game for 60 minutes to win it throughout.
Okay.
But I do think that if Michigan State allows them to get a couple of big plays and keep the score close, this could be dangerous. I think Michigan State will still win this game about 42-28.
Okay.
At the end of the day. And that's even giving Michigan 28 points. I don't see this. I went to all their games earlier, and I don't see them scoring 28 points on Michigan State. But the big play factor scares me because this defense has kind of shown a little crack.
Right.
So I hope that the coaches really take a long time this week to say, guys, assignment. Let them get the first down. Let them hold on to the ball a little bit because we're a bend but don't break defense.
Exactly.
So
Hopefully. So you think it'll be close in some regard?
I think it'll be close for the first quarter and a half, and then hopefully Sparty takes it down, play it off with the music.
There you go. I gotta love that, right? I know,
that's
right?
Good stuff.
That's the top 40 Tuesday, baby. All right. Well, there you have it. Justin Rose of WXYZ Channel 7 in Detroit. Justin, it's been a pleasure, my man. We gotta do this again, all right? Sounds good. Thanks a lot. All right, folks, again, you've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKR AM 870 East Lansing. As always, take care, keep it cool, have a fantastic day, and as always, be easy, people.